It is my duty and privilege to charge the congregation, and I will do so from Hebrews 13, verses 17. Just verse 17, where the writer to the Hebrews instructs us, saying, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you." Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls, and they will give an account. We've already heard about the process of ordination, and let me just go back over it. You're expected to have a 4-year degree. You're expected to then go to 3 years of graduate study and complete that and earn a degree. You are to be taken under care of a session, and then you are to be taken under the care of the presbytery. At the end of that process, during which you are being observed as to your manners and morals, at the end of that process, then you are subjected to a written examination, extensive written examination, and then an oral examination, and then finally comes ordination. It's a very careful and thorough process. I think the process is meant to be honored. I think that there is a legitimate honor that is due to the office. There is a legitimate obedience that is given to those who are leading in the church. Certainly, authority can be abused, and we need to be conscious of that. And yet, that abuse of authority doesn't nullify the proper use of authority and the proper place of authority and the honoring of authority. In a session room, Alex will have one vote, and his vote will be one among a number of elders. So, in the end, he is the first among equals. And his authority is an authority that is an authority of influence. It is an authority of honor that is rightly extended to him because of the office that he holds and because of the process through which he has come and the knowledge of doctrine and the practice of holiness to which that testifies. And then, so obey your leaders and submit to them, for they're keeping watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Then he said this, "Let them do this with joy and not with grief." I wonder why he says that. Isn't that interesting that he thought that it might be necessary to say, in light of the work of your pastor and of your leaders, let them pastor, let them lead, let them rule, let them govern the church with joy and not with grief? Isn't that interesting? What did the writer to the Hebrews anticipate? It's pretty obvious, isn't it? He'd already anticipated that there would be a lot of grief involved in trying to lead a congregation, that there would be struggle involved, that there would be hardship that would be involved. You're herding cats as a pastor of a congregation. It's a difficult work. And so he is exhorting his readers that let your leaders lead with joy and not with grief, because the default mode of a congregation is grief for the leaders as they are trying to govern the church well and lead the church well. So I want to say to you, I want to encourage you to be an encouragement to your pastor and to your other leaders in the church. Encourage them in their work. Minimize the grumbling and complaining and disputing. Don't be a grief to your pastor. Let him lead. Let your leaders lead with joy and not with grief. So encourage them in their work. Honor them in their work. Be a joy to them. Let me say, there isn't anything, just for context here, there isn't anything in all the world that I would rather do than pastor a congregation. Is it anything in all the world? I think there's any greater privilege, any greater honor than pastoring a church of the disciples of Christ, ministering the word to them, ministering the sacraments, praying with and for them. I think it's the greatest job in the whole world, if you want to call it a job, the greatest calling in the whole world. But it can be grievous, difficult. A significant percentage of ministers wash out every year because of the difficulties of leading a congregation. He has a family too. Let me encourage you to be an encouragement to them. Let me encourage you not to ask his wife to explain her husband's beliefs. There are people who are afraid to go to the pastor and challenge him, so they'll go to their wife and say, "Why does he say thus and so?" That's not her job to explain the nuances of Alex's theology. And as his children grow, it's not his children's responsibility either. They may not share the beliefs. They may not understand the beliefs. They may understand them and believe them and not be capable of explaining them. So be a joy to the pastor. Be a joy to his family, and not the occasion of grief. Honor his leadership. Encourage him in that. And let this pastorate be a long pastorate. I have hope that Alex is thinking of this as a lifetime call. That's the outlook I went to Independent 27 and a half years ago. In the providence of God, that worked out. There's no virtue in it whatsoever on my part, because there were plenty of times when I would have run for the door if the door had been open. But nevertheless, wouldn't it be wonderful that if this context could be such a joy to Alex and to his family, that this could be a lifetime call at the end of a lifetime of ministry, that there would be a great congregation that would endure for generations. Independent Presbyterian has been where it is for 259 years. Wouldn't it be wonderful if 260 years from now, this congregation was still